And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Busy night in sports last night. Some developments in sports here locally yesterday as well. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Joe Rex Road, how are you doing? What's going on? You look great today, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. I had to wear a shirt because there's the Poyle Heinz presser today rather than my usual tank top with mustard on it. Good. I mean, I almost stayed up for the whole thing with Calgary and Edmonton. I stayed up for the Warriors, Mavs blowout. The Rangers-Canes game was amazing series was won last night. The Rangers had a chance to steal the series. The Canes are going to win the series because the Rangers blew it and somehow let Sebastian Aho just get free with 2 minutes left in a 1-0 game in the third period of a playoff game. So
may want to put a body on that guy.
Yep. And the Warriors looked awfully good, but it's 6-5. I'm watching McDavid to Dreisaitl, and it's like, I mean, I got to go to bed, but man. I don't want to go to bed, and I went to bed, and then I find out it's 9-6 for a final.
Well, I looked down, it's 5-1 Calgary, or whatever it was, and I was like, okay, well, this one's over.
Right.
And then you battle all the
Smith's
way back.
Out.
Yeah, Smith's out. You battle all the way back, and you know, Ryan Whitney, who used to play for Edmonton, and he played for Pittsburgh, and now he's with Barstool doing Spit and Chicklets with Bissonette and all that stuff. He's a big Oilers guy. And I saw his tweet this morning. He said, I would have rather lost 37-0 than to come back and tie that thing 6-6 and then lose 9-6. It's a tough one for Edmonton last night. Not much defense out there. It was funny because McDavid got up at the morning skate yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I expect this game probably to be a tight-checking series. Final scores 9-6 last night.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the general sentiment on that series, which is basically just a bad matchup for Edmonton, is probably going to come true. But yeah, I mean, when you do that, think about what you could have done for yourself and done to your opponent if you came back all the way and then won that game.
Yeah.
And then it's like you just revert to, oh, that's right, can't stop anyone. And yeah, 9 freaking goals.
Well, the last time, I think in the regular season, that Edmonton walked in there, they gave up 9 as well. So you're talking about, I think, 2 trips in a row to Calgary that you've given up 9. That's probably not a very good sign.
Is this why scoring's up in the NHL, just because Edmonton's in it?
Yeah,
is
it could be. I mean, it's 15 goals last night in the Battle of Alberta, which, hey, I'm here for. If every game wants to be, you know, some variation of 9-6 or 8-7 or whatever you want to do, cool. Sign me up for it.
Toe Blake rolling around his grave, man. This is not what the Battle for Alberta is supposed to be.
It says, they just threw up a graphic on ESPN. 15 goals, the most combined goals in a playoff game since 93.
There you go. A lot of stuff. A lot of first stuff since the 90s this year. Yes. In the NHL.
No question about it. Last night did nothing but confirm my belief, Joe Rexro, that this series between the Warriors and the Mavs is not going to last very long. Like 4-1 is what I said yesterday. I'm gonna stick with that one. I'm gonna say the Mavs get one.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I still think it could be better than that. The Mavs are weird. Like they either destroy you or get destroyed by you. I mean, look at the Phoenix series.
Yeah,
look, game one of that series was horrific for them. And then when you saw how it ended, look at the Warriors a week ago. I mean, you know, it may as well have been Memphis Grizzlies against Memphis Tigers in that game,
yeah.
You know? So I understand. I mean, you said it before this game. People who watch that game and say that, say, I don't want to hear you because you know how these series can go. But the Warriors are better. There's no doubt. They have more weapons, and I loved what they did. I mean, shoot, they were boxing. They went boxing one, man. I love the boxing one so much. And that's a great team to box and one against, you know. As long as they don't have a couple shooters absolutely going off. You know, the Mavs are going to launch. And on a given night when they don't go 11 for 48 from three, if they go 20 for 48, well, they're probably going to beat you. But the box and one, so awesome.
Bring it back full time.
And, you know, with the box and one, what that means is, for those of you out there who aren't familiar with zone defenses largely played in middle school, one player is just guarded straight up. You know, probably by your best defender, and then everybody else is basically in a box. And then you're going to double that player whenever he gets into your area as much as you can. And they made it troublesome for him.
I thought for a long time yesterday that Luka Doncic was so relaxed and ready for this game that he was out at a San Francisco area bar having beer before the game.
I so badly wanted him to actually be out.
It turns out that wasn't true. It was a picture from a few months ago, I guess, with him and Boban out there. But I was really hoping that was true, that he was just out there on the day of a playoff game yesterday, just tossing back a few beers, ready to go.
And what if
no
he
care
was?
In the world.
And what if he was?
He can do whatever he wants.
Fine. I mean, you know, it's no. I mean, it's like you know, if you have three donuts the day of a game, or a couple beers, you know,
what's the difference?
Carb up.
Yeah, have a nap, have some water, and get your butt out there. You're fine. I'm glad you said that actually, because I was making jokes about him and the beers last night on Twitter. And people probably think that I actually thought he had beers yesterday. So now I'm going to make sure to
clarify statement
up and say, yes, I know he wasn't actually there last night.
Didn't shoot all that well. I think he was 6 of 18 yesterday. So Luka will shoot better as the series goes on, I think.
Yeah. And obviously he's great. I mean, they need, you know, look, you got to have Dinwiddie and Brunson and Finney Smith. You know, those guys have got to be hot from outside. It's a make miss. But they're going to, I think they're going to get a couple.
One.
Okay. you may be right.
Got game two coming up tonight in a couple of different avenues. Got Colorado and St. Louis coming up tonight. Looking forward to that one in game two. And then, of course, Tampa Bay and Florida as well in the NHL. So we'll see if the Panthers and or the Blues can make this thing interesting and tie up the series at one tonight. It kind of felt like St. Louis had an opportunity to do that the other night with the way Jordan Binnington played, but we'll see if they can respond in game two coming up. And then you have game two between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics tonight as well. So we'll see. I haven't seen anything on Al Horford and Marcus Smart. I have no clue as to whether or not they're going to be available for the Celtics in game two, but they probably need to be to avoid going down 0-2 tonight in Miami.
So would you rather, as a Miami Heat fan, them play or not play?
Well, I would rather them not play.
Yeah, but then you got to hear from the Celtics fans making excuses.
I don't care. Just win the series. It's the only thing I care about.
I think that's the right way to look at it.
Bob on Twitter says, beautiful night for soccer in the Music City last night. Shout out to Bob. I hadn't heard from you for a while on Twitter. Good to hear from you.
We haven't heard from Bob for a while.
Nice W last night for Nashville SC. The unbeaten streak at home. I mean, we're already past like an absurd amount of time. I want to say that you're in like the 500 days range, 560 days unbeaten at home for Nashville SC. So they have either won or have tied at home all throughout last year and this year as well. 560 days unbeaten at home. Obviously with the new park at Geodis Park, unbeaten at home right now as well. Pretty good start for Nashville SC in the new home park.
Yeah, what a night of like just, you know, you got that. It looks like a great atmosphere. Big win for them. Another one this weekend. I didn't make it to Sting, which stinks. You did make it to Justin Bieber, which quick review on that.
Biebs was amazing. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. My 13-year-old self was just loving it. I'm wearing my Justin Bieber sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
Which I paid way too much for, but I just had to.
Bunch of believers.
Oh, you bought it last night.
Oh, of course I did.
The concert buy.
Listen, the tickets were free, so it's like,
yeah. So it's like, and plus, I mean, local businesses are so afraid of you that, you know, that.
Shout out to M Street Entertainment, or it's their company, hospitality company. There we go. It's early this morning, guys. I'm struggling. Yeah, the lady called me when I had my red rant yesterday, and great customer service. She called me, made sure everything was okay. I got the $120 back on my card.
Problem solved.
Sending me a gift card. Very, very nice. If I need anything, so.
Your rants really, like, are really prosperous for you. That must be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. People listen.
Your rants pay off.
People listen.
Yes. Do not mess.
With Michelle.
With Michelle.
By the way, we got a texture that said, Saban just blew up college football. He's right, but he should not have thrown gas on the sport and flash torched it. It's over now. He better have the proof to back it up.
He's right? What is he right about? This is previewing later in the show. And by the way, this is a great day to have Mitch Light in. We're going to have Mitch Light in for an hour.
We are. This is a fantastic day. Great timing by Rexha.
Yeah. I had a feeling that Saban was going to have a meltdown the night before. Yes. But Mitch Light will be in Athletic, college football editor, my editor at The Athletic, Nashvillian, Vanderbilt grad, and college football expert for an hour from 8 to 9. And, yeah, we got Dion out there taking shots back at Saban. Saban just melting down. I mean, it's interesting. Thank you, Nick.
I do love that man. I really do. He's never short on content. There's always something going on.
I mean, that
Saban was mad last night.
We need to call an emergency Aflac commercial quickly here.
Will in Bellevue on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "Nice road win, Joe. You can read Skip Stillman like a book." First off, nice use of Skip Stillman. It's coming from Will from Bellevue. Did you win yesterday on Jared versus Joe?
I did win yesterday. Oh, boy. Yeah. And
the losing streak is over.
Yeah, not just one, but, I mean, it was embarrassing. Like I told him, you know, I was like, this is like Woody Hayes. Why'd you go for two to win 50-14? Because I couldn't go for three. So, yeah. There you go.
Cody and all
that happened in 1968.
Cody in all capital letters. Guys, what are we going to do? Derrick Henry is holding out per Stillman.
Oh, good God. I mean, again, like I said to my Jared versus Joe, like, you must have been amazing. I don't know, like, someone Jared's age, like, did you play with Star Wars toys?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, you must have been amazing, you know. Like, my brother had the Ewok village. Like, you must have been amazing at creating these magical fantasy worlds. It's just
it's like J.K. Rowling out there.
I mean, by the end of the show, yes, it was like, oh, my God, what are they going to do with this Derrick Henry holdout? What is happening? Vrabel and Henry clearly hate each other.
Oh,
gosh. Oh, they're at each other's throats.
Oh, great stuff.
Thank you, Charlie Weiss.
There was a development yesterday in Nashville sports that has taken Twitter, especially Pred's Twitter, by storm.
Oh, boy.
What a story. Yesterday broken by Adam Vingan. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Joe, some interesting developments on the John Hines front heading into the Hines and Poyle press conference today. Adam Vingan of The Athletic reporting yesterday says, quote, said this on Twitter, quote, "John Hines' expiring contract includes a one-year team option, but I am hearing that the Predators have signed Hines to a new multi-year contract." So not only have the Predators brought John Hines back, it appears, according to Adam Vingan, they have signed him to a multi-year contract as well. What is your reaction to the Predators giving Hines a new deal, according to Adam Vingan, your coworker at The Athletic?
I'm a little surprised by that. I would have guessed just pick up the option and go from there. To me, it's a vote of confidence for John Hines.
And an actual vote of confidence, not like a GM giving him the vote of confidence right before you fire him.
Exactly. It's literally a vote of confidence. So I'm a little surprised, but again, I would like – well, I'd like details we probably won't get. Multi-year means how many years? What's he getting paid to? It's always interesting. I mean, I really wish that, you know, coach salaries, which are, of course – completely reported in college athletic, but that's a different deal, you know, for public universities. But I'd love in pro sports if we could get fully reported coach salaries. Like, what do you think Hines makes? I know that capfriendly.com has as many of the NHL coach salaries as it can gather, including a cool $5 million for Todd McClellan of the Kings, which looks like the biggest salary in the league that I can see, but there's a lot that aren't reported. Around here, what do you think? Two, three?
Probably, if I had to, I have no clue, but I would guess somewhere around three and a half.
Yeah. The low end is like Bruce Boudreau, per cat friendly, $2 million.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, but anyway, that's just on a tangent that I just went on.
It's okay.
But look, I'm not personally, I don't find this to be some huge problem or issue. I'm a little surprised because it's, you know, again, in college sports, you do these things because you're always recruiting and because you can never have it perceived that your coach might be leaving, because then you're not going to get the players. That has nothing to do with pro sports. So to me, it's like, just go year for year, unless you're an incredible coach, you know, who's had wild success, who you're worried about other teams trying to steal away. If that's not the case, I mean, okay, do a good job this year, and you keep your job next year. That's how I'd do it.
Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts on this. You know, we've talked about this ad nauseum here on the show. I like John Hines. I think John Hines has done a really good job. I would not have done this. I'm not giving John Hines a multi-year contract extension. And, you know, I just think you go into next year, you pick up the option. That's why you have the option, is to be able to pick it up, and you see how it goes next year. And if it goes well and you feel like your team's still making progress, then you discuss a new multi-year contract at that point. And, look, maybe it's as soon as things are going really well in the first half of next season and you think to yourself, all right, well, he's shown me enough. Let's go. Let's get a new multi-year contract done. Now you put yourself in a situation where if it starts to fall apart on you and it doesn't go well next year, well, you've got a new multi-year contract that you've just given your coach. And if you did want to move on at some point, a buyout has come along with that. So,
well, that's another question I have.
Yeah.
What's that look like in the NHL?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't think there was – like, there are people breaking down the door to go get John Hines. Now, we've seen this work out, you know, in different ways before. And, you know, I did think of, not to compare the situation exactly because it's not the same, but I did think of the Barry Trotz situation where he went into that last year in Washington on a lame duck deal. It was the last year of his contract, and Washington had no interest in picking it up.
And
then all of a sudden, it was, oh, he's making a run to the Stanley Cup. Let's see if we can get him to sign under a contract. And then Barry Trotz basically told him to pound sand after the season and went on to New York. Now, I'm not saying that.
I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
You're like predicting a cup.
Fred's going to the cup next year? Yeah. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but there is a scenario where you offend the coach, you let this thing play out, and John Hines has a good year next year. Say the Predators win a playoff round, and he looks around and says, you know what? I think I'll go somewhere else. Like, that could happen. I don't think it would happen, but that could happen. So there is – that's kind of the counterpoint that you can make to the argument I'm throwing out there. I don't know. I would not have picked up – or I would not have given a multi-year extension. I would have picked up the option and see how it went next year and then made my decision from there. That's me.
Yeah, it makes sense. But, like, look, I think it's – I think this reflects the feeling – about John Hines in the building,
yeah.
Which is, you know, I don't know that anyone thinks, okay, this is the next great thing, and the Predator, you know, David Poile said things not quite to that effect, but like, feel very lucky that we got John Hines when they hired him, when he hadn't done a lot. He'd been with the Devils, a pretty bad rebuilding Devils team. So I don't think it's that, but I think that it's pretty I'd say consistent for people. If you talk to people who have an inkling of what goes on in there, it's pretty consistent respect for him. And again, I think personally that the job he's done has been good, but I know some people can't separate. Some people really can't separate coaching from team building. They're just two totally different jobs, and
yeah.
And one of those jobs has not been done very well here, and one of them, to me, has been done pretty well here.
What this also tells me, and I saw Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports put this out yesterday, and I agree. This also tells me that not that you need to base all your decisions off this if you're Poile and the Predators, but in the exit meetings with the players, it tells me that they were pretty happy with John Hines. Like,
that's a good point.
Duchesne, Forsberg, those guys, and, you know, that's another part of this. Like, if Forsberg, let's say you're trying to make a decision on Forsberg, or Forsberg's trying to make a decision to sign with you, if he really doesn't like John Hines, like, what are you doing on that point if you're David Poile?
I don't think you're doing this.
I don't know if you're doing this. Like, you're picking up the option probably, but I don't know if you're doing this. So, I don't know. It tells me that the players seem to really like what he's brought to the table. Again, your management, you can't always base your decision on that. Sometimes you just you have to do what you feel like is the best direction for the team. But it tells me that the players are pretty happy with John Hines.
Yeah, which to me, that adds up with what I've heard from people. That adds up with what we've seen, I think. And look, with John Hines, I think one thing that's been pretty apparent from the start is there's a directness with him. There's an even keeled directness with him that, look, I guess for us in media, like I prefer people who rant and rave and scream F-bombs a little bit, like, give me some Vrabel on the practice field. Yep. Well, by the way, did you see the Titans video of Vrabel? Yeah. I was like, come on. That video could have been amazing.
You doctor this thing up to put that out there.
Okay, fellas, here we go. Oh, good practice, guys. It was like they did the
You're
beginning
going
and the end.
To make mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, there was some, you know, some good, but I mean, come on, he's amazing out there. Like, give the people some bleeps. But anyway, Hines is, you know, is very, very level, but I think he's direct and, you know, like with Laviolette, for example, you want to compare the two? I think Laviolette is a big time motivator. Like, he comes up with stuff to get guys going, and I think it can be very effective, clearly. And then it can also wear off. I think Hines is very level and, like, this is the expectation, and he sticks to it. And he sticks to it with his actions.
He's extremely process-oriented.
Oh, no question. I mean, and that's the thing. It gets frustrating for people, too, because they could lose a game 6-1 or they could win a game 5-2, and he could be happier with the loss because of how they played. I mean, sometimes that happens in sports. But for him, it is very much like, what was the game? What was the minute-by-minute, you know, the game that they iced, as he likes to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's things about it that I guess I can see from the outside. You know, you get frustrated, especially when things aren't going well. And I do think the last month is, like, it wasn't good. And I would like to know more about that. But overall, again, said it a million times, I think it's very simple. I think he's done a good job.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jaden, who wants to weigh in. Jaden, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey guys, good morning. I'll start off by saying, hey Joe, I'm not gonna give a crazy take like your buddy Jared does about the coach here. So, but I will say, from what we've seen from John Hines in the past 3 years, I think it's subpar. I don't think it's like the greatest thing, but I agree with y'all that he's done a pretty good job. I don't think firing him is the best idea, but giving him a potential, I know it's not official, but a potential 6-year contract and you have the 1-year option. I just, winning 3 playoff games as the head coach so far in your tenure, I just can't see that as a good idea. Give him the 1-year option and see how he does this year. And then, like you said, Robbie, maybe after this year you sign him to a multi-year extension like they're planning on doing now. But I can't see it as a good idea in the future. From what we've seen so far from John Hines, I mean, he's done a good job, but I don't think quite good enough, and I'll leave it there.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jaden. I appreciate it. He mentioned the 6-year extension there. That was getting floated around on Pred's Twitter last night. I have not seen that officially reported anywhere. So
that's a number.
That would be a number. Like, 6 years, if they gave him a 6-year extension, I got a problem with that.
Wow.
You can't be giving somebody a 6-year contract extended coaching when you haven't won a playoff round yet.
That's a number.
Yeah. So, but again, I have no clue
Where'd that originate?
It was floating all around Pred's Twitter last night, and I have not seen that number officially reported.
Pred's Facebook says lifetime deal and part ownership of the team. What is Pred's TikTok saying?
I have no clue.
He is now the mayor of Nashville.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. What's your reaction to the Predators giving a multi-year contract extension to John Hines? We'll get to more of that coming up next. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5-106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5-106.3, The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your reaction to Adam Vinion of The Athletic's report that the Nashville Predators have signed John Hines to a multi-year contract extension. David in Murfreesboro texting in says, are you kidding me with Barry Trotz still out there? It's coming from David in Murfreesboro.
Yeah, maybe this kind of tells you that we've kind of known this, haven't we?
Yeah.
Trots to Nashville is not happening.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was going to happen
ever. I think there was a chance it was going to happen if it was management. I think management would be the way that happens. But going down the door again as coach, like I think he's closed that door. I think the Predators have closed that door, and they're on to something else. Now, look, would I have liked to see Barry Trotz come back as head coach? Yeah. Guy's awesome. But I think the Trotzy has probably closed that door up a little bit.
I wonder, you know, this is one of those situations. Something just came to mind. Again, I keep going Titans and Preds comparisons. Like, will this turn into, like, the Brady thing? Where, you know, like, some people are convinced that Brady just – he was all in on the Titans, yeah. Even though there's really no evidence at all of that. Like, is that – because if you're a Preds fan who's, like, who believes that Trotz wanted to come back here and the Preds are like, no, thanks, well, then you should be mad. But
yeah.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's how it went.
But there's no – I mean, if there's no one that's going to come out and just – and lay it out for us on all the conversations and what somebody was thinking, then there, you have that, you have enough of that uncertainty in there that somebody can find that as a reason for outrage if they want.
Yeah. Scott in Hopkinsville texting in says, Hines got the deal AJ was looking for. 4 years, $120 million guaranteed. If so, congratulations to him.
See, Hines, a little bit less tweeting. Get that money, man.
That's right. Max in Kentucky says, I know you can't run a business based on emotions, but what does it say if a Forsberg deal gets done all of a sudden after this extension? So I guess Forsberg waiting on to see what happens for Hines, and he signs immediately after this?
Well, I don't expect Forsberg's deal, good or bad, to be, you know, like oh, good, well, sign me up.
Let's go.
Now, I totally agree with what you said earlier, which is, like, I don't think you do this unless you feel pretty good about Forsberg feeling pretty good about John Hines.
April in Portland texting in says, if Adam's information is true, it's disappointing. Hines has been fine, but I'm not a fan. It doesn't make sense to add years to a contract when they don't have to. I would have been fine with an additional year, but this is stupid in my opinion. Not starting the offseason in a good direction. This coming from April in Portland. I mean, I have similar thoughts. Like, again, I like John Hines. I think he's done a good job. I don't know. You have a team option for a reason. Pick up the team option and then figure this out next year. Because if this goes off the rails and, you know, things have gone poorly next year and you want to make a move at coach then, well, what are you going to do now? Like, you're not going to do it. Like, John Hines is going to be your guy. So I would have just picked up the option. I am interested to see, and we got a lot of text to this regard on the text line. I'm really interested to see what the term is because, yeah. Look, I know the six-year thing is getting thrown around. I have a tough time buying that it would be 6 years. If it is, oh, boy. But, you know, if it's like a five-year deal, that's a big deal for John Hines. I don't know what the new – I mean, his first deal was, what, 3 years or 2 years with a team option? That'd be 3 years.
Well,
so you finish the first season.
I guess, you know, it's like a half season.
Half season.
Full season. Full season.
Right, so 2.5. Yeah. And then the third is all. I mean, I would assume, my guess is, it's probably longer than that. Like, is he signing a 2-year extension? I don't know. My guess is it's probably longer than that.
I guess I would kind of think 2-3 years. If it's 6, hey, man.
Good for him.
I mean, hey, exactly. Kudos to you, John Hines. Are they just on like a whatever Jared says, do the absolute extreme opposite? Maybe that's the plan.
Maybe so. James says, John Hines did get career years from several dudes. I give him some credit for that. Maybe Poile wanted to re-sign him because he loves penalty minutes. I don't know. That's coming from James on the text line.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I'm seeing quite a bit of people, well, frankly, who agree with me. Chip from Mount Juliet, I think Hines got the most out of his players, but the team still lacks that one elite, you know, goal scorer or scorers as seen in current playoff teams. That lies with Poile. There's quite a bit of that. I think there's more of that. Because that's another thing, too. You tell me, and this is a point of contention with the Hindsider, I don't feel – I don't know. Again, this is where it gets really tough with judging the fan. I mean, let's put a poll. You know what? I just said let's put a poll up. Let's put a poll up. Let's put a poll up. I think more – I don't think it's like this across-the-board fans are down on Hines.
No.
I think there's a lot more, as I think as people should be, that are down on Poyle.
Oh, yeah. No, I think there's
– some people
I think
are,
there's a significant amount that are down on both. But I think if you had to separate out the two, I'd say there are more Predators fans down on Poyle than there are on Hines. That's just my guess.
And
based on the reaction that we've gotten.
And I think those people are reading it correctly. But like if you just isolated it to Hines, what's the approval rating of Hines, the Nashville Predators fan base?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably, I think it's probably slightly over 60%, but I still think there's a pretty good amount of people that are out on Hines too. I mean, the bottom line is we've talked about this. I said this yesterday on the DDC. Expectations around here have changed, and it's a good thing as a franchise. Like, you want your fans to care and you want your fans to want to win. But what happens when that's the case is being eliminated in the first round 4 years in a row is no longer good enough. And I get it. They've transitioned the roster. I think there is a portion of the fans of the Preds fan base that realizes that they're in a transition or a rebuild or whatever word you want to use, and they're okay with that. But I do think that there is still a significant amount of Predators fans who are probably not happy today that John Hines has signed an extension. So it's one of those things where now I think there's even more pressure. If you made that decision, there's more pressure this offseason to fix this roster and to get it right and to continue to take a step forward next year. And if you go through next year and you're in the same situation where, let's say you're wild card one or two, you get in the playoffs and you're out pretty quick in the playoffs, I mean, people are going to be irate next year if this continues to be the case. So I think there's more pressure now to fix this and to start to continue to move in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I'd separate the two things, and I'd ask you, how do you think Hines has coached in the playoffs?
I thought this series is just so difficult to judge because Colorado's just so much better than they are. So you didn't have your goalie. You're at an incredible talent deficiency. I mean, Colorado was skating circles around St. Louis the other night, and I think St. Louis is significantly better than the Predators are. So it's difficult for me to really judge what just happened. I thought he did a decent job in the Carolina series. The Arizona one, I didn't think he did a great job, but I also look at that roster and you still had guys like, you know, Craig Smith and Kyle Turris on that team, and that team was in the middle of cratering. So, you know, I don't think he's done a great job in the playoffs. His record is what it is, but they've been so talent-wise outmatched in the last two series that I didn't have any expectations for them to win that series. I thought they competed pretty well against Carolina, and they just got their doors blown off against Colorado. So I can't sit here and say they did a great job against Colorado. They got swept, you know, but the talent deficiency just is what it is.
Yeah, it's just – this is we got to go to break, but the big thing, it's like his playoff record is – hey, look, that's fine. It's fair. It's his record. It's what it is. I feel like the only really disappointing, I'm not saying this last series was disappointing. It was disappointing. It was also predictable. The Arizona series is the one where it's like, you got to do better than that. But you can find excuses for anything. And then you can also, you can put a ton of blame on him if you want. I just think that's misguided.
I got a text that says, unfortunately now maybe we lose Carl Taylor to another team, losing an asset for nothing. Sound familiar? I mean, look, first off, I don't know if they're going to lose Carl Taylor or not. He's done a good job down there in Milwaukee. But this is also one of my favorite things, like the obsession with the minor league hockey coach. It's like he might be a good NHL coach. He might not. I don't know.
Some of them turn out really good.
Some of them. I mean, Dean Evason's done a good job. But let me tell you this. If they lose in the first round again next year, Dean Evason's going to get fired.
That's true, too.
So, I mean, I understand it. The unknown is undefeated. But I don't spend too much time worried about minor league hockey coach.
Can you imagine Carl Taylor coaching Malik Willis?
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, they could dominate in any sport. Nashville SC, whatever you want.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on John Hines, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports, as we do every Thursday morning at 645. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports for this week?
Yeah, my best. I'm actually not going to do my best. I'm going to let Michelle do the best.
Okay.
Because I know what Michelle's going to do. And if I'm wrong, then I'll go back to it. But I think I know what Michelle's going to do for the best in sports.
Okay.
No, you're looking at me like,
I think we'll know what she's going to do, too. But we'll see if we're right.
Yeah, we'll see if we're right. So my best is NCAA. Yes. Doing good stuff. Relaxing whatever the heck they relaxed. You know, the requirements for FBS title games.
Yeah.
Which opens the door for these conferences to get rid of divisions, which are always stupid. And although I want to pour a little bit of this coffee out for the legends and leaders. Jim Delaney, man. And the Big Ten came out with the legends and leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Geniuses and humanitarians. It's just like the dumbest thing. Legends and leaders. And then they switch that up to East-West. But now they should spike the divisions. The Pac-12 already has. The ACC, if they haven't officially, that's coming. I really hope the SEC does it. I really do. Now, the SEC.
They're about to go to pods.
Well, the SEC, I will say this about the SEC. Like, they did this way before anybody else did. So it's actually more of a tradition in this conference.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about early 90s. So I can see a little bit more attachment to them, but I just think it just totally makes sense. Just get your best two teams. If you have tiebreakers, you have tiebreakers. Then you don't have, you know, you don't have. I mean, the Big Ten has just been a mess. Oh, let's throw in, Iowa. How about a little Northwestern Ohio State? It's just get your best two teams. My worst, the Phoenix Suns. Are you kidding me with this freaking Game 7 performance at home? The favorite, the best team this year. Against the Dallas Mavs, and they're good, but you lay that level of an egg. I mean, I can't recall a team in a Game 7 at home. Losing, yes, but in a Game 7 at home, looking like your rookie team in the Summer League in Vegas.
That was the worst game they played in 2 years.
What are you doing? And I understand missing shots, that happens, the other team gets hot, but you completely melted down. I mean, that's just embarrassing, and I think Monty Williams is a great coach. Love Devin Booker. Don't love all their players, but
so love CP3.
I'm not totally like sad to see all of it, but how awful was that?
Shout out to Chris Paul. Way to go, buddy.
That was cheeks.
Pat Beverly loved every second of it.
Yeah,
watching
on
ESPN. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports for this week.
My best in sports this week is USA Soccer.
There you go.
Yes.
We nailed it.
Yep. Nailed it. Knew you guys knew this. They reached a landmark deal, obviously, for a while. It's been in the news even before COVID of the USA Women's national team trying to get equal pay. So essentially, big shout out to the men's national team because they are splitting the pay equally, which will allow, you know, both the men's and the women's team to get paid equally, and then they'll mutually benefit from the other team. So, I mean, this has been a long time coming. Just happy that it's still a long way to go with women's sports all around, but this is definitely just a huge positive for women's sports in general, women's soccer. Just really, really, really excited about this. And if you haven't watched it and you don't know a lot about this, watch LFG. Let's bleeping go.
Is that Brady?
No, it's the documentary on this, and like Megan Rapinoe's in it, Alex Morgan, and it explains all of it. Great, great documentary on HBO. My worst in sports this week, I didn't really have one, so I'm just going to go with the extreme speculation on the whole Derrick Henry and contract things, because Vrabel had some comment that basically was like, yeah, I just want all my guys at OTA, or he's like, yeah, I love, you know, the preseason stuff, the voluntary stuff, love having my guys here. Whatever, the extreme speculation that this means that he's mad at Derrick Henry or something, and maybe just taking things just way out of context. So, yeah.
That never happens.
Yeah, it's just like, well, and he winked his eye a little bit, which actually means, I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay.
Who are you taking a shot at?
No one.
Taking a shot at somebody?
Okay. No one.
My best in sports for this week, I really enjoyed being able to sit down last night and listen to Penalty Box Radio, their final broadcast last night. Justin Bradford and Glenn Blackwell have done a really good job, not only in their coverage for the Nashville Predators, but really hockey as a whole, both here and in the Southeast as well. They've done a really good job for the last decade. You know, Big Ben used to be a part of it as well. RIP Big Ben, but really enjoyed the show last night, kind of going down memory lane. I think Justin and Glenn and the entire Penalty Box Radio crew needs to be commended for the job that they've done, and really enjoyed listening to them kind of pour their heart out last night in their final broadcast. So my best in sports for this week, the crew at Penalty Box Radio.
That's awesome.
Worst in sports is also, I mean, you can make an argument this could be
also Penalty Box Radio.
No, it's not Penalty Box Radio. It is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Look, I do think they were more competitive, and they just ended up getting beat by a team that I still think is going to win the Stanley Cup in the Tampa Bay Lightning. But it's pretty darn funny. You're up 3-2 in that series. It's an overtime in Game 6. You lose. You come out in Game 7, and you let Tampa get the lead. And then they just totally shut the door on you. And they had chances, and it was at home. And I think this is now 4 years in a row that they've lost, not only in the first round, but they've lost in the deciding game. So either Game 7, or in the case of the bubble, I think it was Game 5, that they've lost in the deciding game. You know, I probably shouldn't laugh at other people's pain, but in Toronto, it's pretty darn funny. So the Toronto Maple Leafs, my worst / second best thing in sports. Loved it.
1967. My goodness.
I find too much joy in this? I just think it's so funny.
No, not enough.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to think, like, what would be the equivalent here? It's not the same. It's hard to draw a comparison because, I mean, there's a handful of Canadian teams.
Yeah.
And there's two that really drive the conversation, and that's the biggest city. Yeah. And it's just, it's a huge fan base. They've done so much to get there. And they are good.
They are.
They're good. I think they were better, more in that series. I didn't watch every second of it, but I think they were the better team, you could argue, for the series. And they had it. And they had it in their hands, and it's probably the most painful way for it to go. Because if they just got wiped, which I actually thought might happen, then it'd be, okay, great, new direction. What do you do now?
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, worst thing in sports is the Titans sometimes trying to be like the Patriots, but not always. Means what for the Derrick Henry news on contract talks? We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Best thing is Joe being proven right by a coach extension. Eat it, Jared. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon,
man,
on the text line.
So going after Jared.
So much for Heidi being Jared's burner account on the text line, unless he's just really crafty.
Well, maybe, though. This definitely would throw us off the trail, wouldn't it?
It would.
Eat it, Jared.
I'm Jared.
And I just got a pedicure.
That was scary, Joe.
So anyway, Vrabel, tell me about your... Sorry.
Going all Charlie Weiss on me, other just breathing into the microphone.
Speaking of that, you know, Gregory Anderson on Twitter, I forgot that he had done that thing because I actually have been told I look like Charlie Weiss. I mean, legitimately, I've been told I look like Charlie Weiss.
It's a good compliment.
No, it's, you know, yeah. So, but actually, he had that face app thing, my face fits perfectly in his body. It's really sad.
We've talked more about Charlie Weiss on the show this week than he's probably been talked about in years.
I don't know if we have time for this. I did a podcast, Locked On Spartans, with my buddy Matt Sheehan, and a memory lane on John L. Smith. And I talked about the Charlie Weiss thing, right, with the cameras and all that.
Yeah.
But what I forgot, the best part of it was that John L. at his press conference, ripping Charlie Weiss, like, and I got hit, and he slapped himself like that. He did. I mean, you can watch it. I'll find it. At his press conference, he's like, and I, as he left, he's like, and I got hit. And he slapped himself. Amazing.
You looked incredible on the Zoom doing that.
Yep, can't wait to make that a GIF.
I bet I did.
This has been the best,
shout out John L.
best and worst things in sports here on Robbie and Rex Show. Coming up next, we will get into the Derrick Henry contract discussion. News that, quite frankly, I didn't expect to be talking about this time yesterday, but we'll do it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.